Hebrews chapter 3. So anyway, we're talking about examples, how our Lord is an example to us. I'm going to go to a word of prayer real quick, and we'll read some verses that are here. Lord, surely good to us. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray, Father, that you would help me to rightly divide your word. Help me with these examples that I'm going to discuss tonight, that people would be able to understand them, be able to see it clearly, and then ultimately be able to apply it to our heart. Help us be a better example. Lord, I know that it is impossible for us to be like you, for you are sinless, that you are God in the flesh. But Lord, we know that when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we get saved, we're sealed into that day of redemption. Lord, that you can help us. And Lord, that we could surrender to you and allow you to live through us. And help us to do our part, especially in this community, the influence that we have in our families, work, and other places, that people could see you in our lives. We ask these things, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 1 to 2, we'll see another example here of what our Lord is. Amen. And the Bible tells us in verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house has more honor than the house. And every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testament of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." What we saw in verse 2, and it kind of gave an illustration, was talking about faithful. Faithful. Now, the book of Hebrews, there's a lot that you can get out of the book of Hebrews. I really enjoy the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a good book with Leviticus to link up. Leviticus, you think about the tabernacle, different things, everybody's sacrifices. You'll even see that in the book of Exodus. Hebrews kind of tells us these are pictures and types of our Lord Jesus Christ, and tells us how the things of the, even the law was a picture, how we can't save ourselves, and appointed us to Jesus Christ. And here it is in Hebrews, in chapter 3, it tells us how he was faithful. How he was faithful. You think about it, our Lord was obedient. Now, we know he is 100% God, but 100% man. But he was obedient. It's interesting to me, sometimes when you read the scripture and you think about our Lord, because he was in the womb, right? He was placed into Mary's womb and he was there. Then he was born into this world. And he was obedient even to, you think about Joseph and Mary, as they would tell him things that were there. And our Lord would have been obedient to them, was submissive to them as a young person. And if you ever had a time in your life where maybe your parents told you and say, "Hey, I need you to do something," and maybe or said to correct you and you didn't do something wrong, you know, who knows? Jesus' brothers, because he had brothers that came after him, they could have accused Jesus and said he did it, right? And you don't know that, you know, maybe Joseph said, "Yeah, maybe he did. I don't know. You know, we don't know." But the reality is, I'm sure they probably falsely accused him of things. But he was obedient, right? He was obedient. But he was faithful. Would that be said of us? Are you and I faithful? Would people recognize us as faithful people? Faithful people. Are you faithful every day to spend some time with the Lord? Are you faithful as in reading your Bible? Do you know, think about it, we are so blessed to have the Word of God. Every single day you should pick up the Bible and read it. God has something he wants you to know from his Word. Are you faithful to that? Now, I won't make you raise your hands, but you answer it to yourself. How many days do you read the Bible in a year? Hopefully you'd say you read the Bible every day. And if you don't read the Bible every day, why not? Why can't you just take some time to be faithful to spend a little time. Now, you'll find time to eat. I guarantee you, most of us will find time to eat. Matter of fact, we'll find more than just a few times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. We'll find the time and make the time to eat. But will we spend time reading the Word of God? How about taking time to pray? Do you spend time praying every day? Now, the Bible tells us pray without ceasing. It's the attitude of prayer, right? So there's sometimes you get on your knees and sometimes you may be driving the car. Don't close your eyes when you're driving the car, but you could still pray in your heart. But do you spend time praying? I need help every single day. And every single day I pray. Amen? And what I have found sometimes in my life where when I look in the past of where I haven't prayed like I should or I haven't read the Bible like I should. And sometimes it just seems like my day is off. That's a blessing. You know why? Because it reminds me I need to make sure I spend time with the Lord. Amen. But being faithful. Are you faithful to service? You know, coming to church really shouldn't be hard. We're living in a day and age where the Bible talks about there would be a falling away. And we're seeing that in our world today, in our society. There is a falling away from people from wanting to know the Scriptures. They don't want to know the Scriptures. People don't want to know sound preaching. People may think it's weird that you go to church. Who cares if they think you're weird? Amen? God wants you to be faithful. So ask yourself, are you faithful to church? Amen? I mean, there's other things that you can talk about faithfulness, right? If you're married, are you faithful to your wife? Or are your wife faithful to your husband? I mean, are you dependable, right? If your boss asks you to do something, do you do it? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have had good bosses and I have had bad bosses. Talking about the secular world. Amen. I'm not talking about being a pastor. I have the greatest boss in the world, God. Amen. I have had some good bosses and bad bosses. And some trying bosses, I would say. Well, they can help build character, right? And the reality is, you think about it, if they ask you to do something, unless it's biblically wrong, do it, right? Yes, sir. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Did Jesus, when he was a kid, know who he was?
Yes.
I mean,
he always would have, yeah.
It confuses me a little bit. Like when he went into the temple, I thought at one time that that's when he really realized who he was.
No, he knew,
so
yeah.
He knew
all the time.
Like, okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
No, that's okay. So anyway, what we see is he was faithful, he was obedient. Look at the Bible says over here to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, you're thinking about being faithful, being obedient. Look here in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, look down here verse 37. Now, 37 is just a verse I like, but I want you to see faithfulness right after that. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, this one's just free for you this evening. It's not in my notes, but the reality is, if you come to Jesus Christ, and you come to him for salvation, knowing who he is, knowing it, that you're a sinner. He'll save you, amen. It doesn't matter what you have done, he is willing to save. And I'm thankful when he does that, amen. But look what it says in verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Right? Again, when you think about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the God, the Holy Spirit, the great three in one, there is one God, right? We see Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It says, and this is the Father's will which I have sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. There's God's will for your life. If you're not saved, you're lost. Jesus wants you to be saved. That's the center of God's will for you. God does not want you to go to hell. He wants to save you. But what did he say? He was obedient. Do thy will. Would that be said of us? Or do we try to be obedient to what God wants us to do? Now, if we're honest, all of us would say we fail. There's times we fail. None of us are perfect. But don't allow that to be an excuse. Ask the Lord to forgive you and do your best to do what's right. Amen? But being faithful. So he was faithful. Now, he's God. He was God in the flesh. He was perfect. That means without sin. We can't be that. Amen? But the reality is this. We could try our best. And what God, that's what God wants out of us, to do our best. Do your best. Ask the Lord to help you and do your best to be faithful. I want to be faithful to my wife until I die or until she dies. Amen? When I did those vows before the pastor, And the reality is we were making those vows, even though those that were there heard us make those vows and the pastor heard us make the vows. The reality is those vows were to God. Those vows were to each other. And I want to be faithful to my wife, and I know she wants to be faithful to me. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, we should be faithful also to God. Amen. Be faithful to him. You're in John chapter 6. Turn back to John chapter 4 and verse 27. John chapter 4, verse 27. So not only being faithful, and there's a lot of faithful and obedience that you could see there, but look here in John chapter 4. I'll start reading at verse 27. John chapter 4 and verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Now, just to stop there for a second. If you remember at the beginning, Jesus was sitting at the well. There was a lady from Samaria that came to him. And as that woman came to him, he asked her for drink. And she was surprised because he was a Jewish person. Jewish people didn't talk to Samaritans. Jewish people looked down on him. And then through that conversation, he took a normal, everyday conversation, give me water, and turned it to a spiritual one and showed her that she was a sinner and she needed a Savior, showed her religion would not save her, but a relationship with Jesus Christ, and she believed on him as the Messiah. And here it was, she just left, and as she left, the disciples came back and they saw him talking to her as they were approaching, and that's where we're picking up at verse 27. And it came, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seeketh thou, or why talketh thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She believed on the Lord, and she went to those people. One of the things that God desires for us is after you get saved, you tell someone. And that's what she's doing. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? But Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Can I tell you, you think about that, our Lord was focused. He was focused on what? Finishing the job. Finishing the job. Aren't you so glad our Lord finished the job when he went to Calvary and died on Calvary's cross for you and me? You and I would have no hope of forgiveness if Jesus did not die for us. Now, you still have to accept him as your personal Savior, but we could see here, finishing the work. Can I tell you, when our Lord walked on the earth, the devil tried his best to tempt him, to try to get him to sin, to try to get him not to focus. Our Lord stayed focused on the job, and he finished it. Remember when he died on the cross, we read in the scripture, he said, "It is finished." He paid for our sins. Amen. Now, let me ask you, in our life, when you think about it, he's our example. Again, it's not saying that God wants us to be crucified. But spiritually, when you think about it, yes, you crucify or you die to self and allow Jesus to live through you. But finishing what God has called you to do. What has God called you to do? What does God want you to do? Are you trying to do that? Amen. Now, we know God wants us to live for him. But what does God want you to do? Has God worked on your heart to tell you about witnessing to someone, talking to someone about him? Are you trying to do that? You may say, well, preacher, they're very far away. Well, we live in this day and age where you have to pick up a phone, or you can send a text, you can email, you can write a letter. I know that's archaic, but no, it's still good. You can write a letter. But anyway, finishing the work. What has God called you to do? Since I've been, God called me up here to pastor. I know this is where God wants me to be. You know, there's been times in my life, one time, where I had an opportunity to do something different, as in still in the ministry. But, you know, I didn't accept it. But you know why? Because that's not what God called me to do. I mean, God, there was another opportunity, but that's not what God wanted me to do. This is where God wants me to be. And the reality is, this is where I'll stay until God calls me home, right? Unless God has something else for me. But the reality is, I'm going to finish what God wants me to do. Well, what does God want you to do? Maybe you're good at teaching kids. Do you know not everyone has that ability to teach kids? Some of you, you think about teaching kids, you have to have patience, you know. You think about kids, what they'll do, they do all kinds of stuff, right? And they'll fall, and you know, I'm talking about little kids, right? And they'll say all kinds of crazy things, and not doing mean, they'll pull people's hair. I mean, you think about watching kids or taking care of kids, you know, that takes patience. But you know, boys and girls need to learn about Jesus. You know, from people that watching them in the nursery and moving up to junior church and other ages. Maybe God has worked on your heart or put it in your heart. That's what you would like to do. Well, are you trying your best to fulfill that? Are you saying, you know what, Lord, I want to do that. And if so, then say something to me, you know, and we'll see what we can work out, amen, and get taken care of. But anyway, you think about that. Finishing the work, finishing the job. What has God called you to do? And are you doing it? But look what the Bible says. We're going back to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12. So we talk about faithfulness. Finishing the work. In Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, I always enjoyed these verses. I love the Bible. But there's some verses just, I guess, speak to you maybe more than others. Could be where we are spiritually. But in Hebrews chapter 12, I always enjoy these verses. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that refers back to chapter 11. In chapter 11, there was a lot of people before us who've accepted the Lord, Old Testament, New Testament, that were faithful, that went through things, that were martyred, that died, but they were faithful, they were persecuted, mocked, went through these things. He was telling these believers here, hey, there's a great cloud. You look back and you can see that others who have gone through persecution that's still been faithful to the Lord. It goes on and says, let us Lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Here you can think about being steadfast, enduring, persevering, right? That's what our Lord did. He was steadfast, enduring, persevering. I mean, he went, right? He finished that job. These verses, it tells us, you know, this may be hard for you to imagine, but it's so true. John, life's not fair at times. Amen. Truth is, it may be more than sometimes. Elma, you probably know, life's not fair a lot of times. And sometimes good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. That's the world that we live in, right? And when you're trying to live for God, the Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Don't be surprised that people mock you, persecute you, try to get you to stop serving the Lord. These believers here were going through similar or same persecution that maybe we're facing, or greater ones that maybe we haven't faced. And they were to the place of thinking, whoa, they feel like fainting or quitting or stopping. And the three verses, I believe it was the Apostle Paul that God told him to write these words that were here, was trying to tell them, hey, lay aside the weight. Whatever's, you know, weighing down, give it to God. Yes, there may be a sin, right? We still have that sin nature. Give it to God. And what was he saying? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Persevering, right? Just keep on going through it. Finishing. And then in verse 3, he's kind of saying, hey, when you get to that place in your life and you're thinking, you feel like quitting, remember what our Lord did. He died for you. Now, you're not going to ever go through anything worse than what our Lord went through, right? Persevering. When I was, before I became a Christian, when I was in college, I remember my coach, when I was playing baseball, our coach prepared us for Miami. We were our baseball team. We're going to the regionals. So as we were getting ready to the regionals, that's like the college playoffs. So we were in the college playoffs. We had to go down to Miami, Florida. Now we're a bunch of hillbillies from a West Virginia baseball team, and we were playing there. And in West Virginia, it never got like Miami, Florida is hot. Humidity, oh my, is amazing. So while we were practicing, I think it was around May, it was probably around May, our coach made us go out and practice and put long sleeves on. We had something, they called them slickers. I don't know what they would be, like a pullover, right? So you think about a hoodie or something like that. It was something like that, but it wasn't. But so we put those on. It was probably about 90 degrees. We put those things on, slickers, whatever you want, I forget, that's what they call them. And we practice in about 90-some degree weather, 80-some, 90-some degree weather. I mean, it was hot. It was miserable. But we finished, right? Some of us were like, oh, you know, we drank a bunch of water. But you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to prepare us for when we went to Miami. When we went to Miami, Florida, I remember going out there. I have never been in humidity like that. Have you ever been in Miami, Florida? Wow. I'm telling you, that was just something. North Carolina's hot too. Yeah, I've been there. But anyway, you go out in that, it was just like you just start to sweat, right? But he was preparing us for that game that we had, right? Well, I want you to understand, if we in things like baseball or whatever, in sports or whatever, some worldly thing that doesn't mean anything, we should be able to persevere for God. Just keep on going on, right? We should be steadfast. We should endure. I don't know what battles you're going to face in life, but be faithful to God. That's what God wants us to be faithful. You ever think about this? The trial, if you're born again, you got saved, whatever trial that you face in life, it may be a surprise to you, but it's not a surprise to God. Don't quit. Just keep on going. Amen? Well, just God is going to use you through whatever you're going through for His honor and His glory. How do you know that it could be this trial that you're going through, that there's a doctor or a nurse, maybe it's a health problem, that needs to know about Jesus, and the only way they're going to hear about Jesus is if you go through that trial? God saw you as faithful enough to be a witness to them. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Amen? When I was, when I think back, it's just still hard to believe, but before COVID, when I had cancer, oh, I was just like, whoa, you know, what's going on? But I look back and I'm thankful God allowed me to have it because I was able to witness. And I may have never witnessed to those people unless God allowed that in my life. I didn't quit. Felt like quitting sometimes. But what I'm saying is just be steadfast. Stay focused, right? And our Lord, that's what He's talking. He was their example. Look over here to the book of in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. He had compassion. Now, you go the whole way through the Scriptures, and I mean, there's so many examples you can see. But our Lord had compassion. He cared. Look what the Bible says here in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Our Lord had compassion. I may ask you a couple questions on this one. In Mark chapter 5, this was the one that was called the lunatic that was here. In Mark chapter 5, look here, verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed, began to publish in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Who was this man that got healed? What's that? No, it wasn't Lazarus. Who was he? May not know his name. What do we know of this man? He was a lunatic, right? Why was he a lunatic?
He was possessed.
Yeah, he was possessed. Remember? He had legion. He had all these demons that were in him. Verse 9, and they asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. This man had a bunch of devils in him. He was possessed. And because he was possessed, he did those crazy things. He would take off his clothes. He would cut himself. You know? Kind of like when you think about these people that get on drugs and they do that stuff, right? There's people that cut themselves and do all these stuff, you know? It's crazy what these people do. Let me ask you, did the lunatic go looking for Jesus?
No.
What's that, Joe? Jesus came looking for him. Think about that for a moment. The Bible says he had compassion on him. When you read verse 19, it says, Go home to thy friends. Think about that for a moment. Go home to thy friends. Do you know what that is telling us? At one time, the lunatic had a family or had friends, right? Had friends, wouldn't have been possessed. He'd been talking to people, right? Because right now, no one wanted to be with him. Amen? You know, he was possessed. But he wasn't always that way. The chances are, I'm just giving my opinion, He probably opened himself up to those things. Do you know people can open themselves up to demonic attacks? That, you know, one of the worst things is pornography. Is horrible, horrible. You can open yourself to demonic attacks. Music, all this, some of this wicked music that's out there, you can open yourself up to demonic attacks. Those witchcraft, well, I was talking about my, it would be my great-grandmother, you know, there's such thing as a good witch, you know, they're all evil. You open yourself up to demonic attacks. There's people that use those Ouija board and stuff. I mean, this man opened himself up to demonic attacks. You know, there would be some people in the world would say, he deserves what he got, John. Jesus had compassion on him. He came looking for him. Right? Now think about that just for a moment. If our Lord had compassion, not only on him, but if you go through scriptures, you know what you'll see? Jesus had compassion. Remember when Lazarus died? Jesus had compassion on Mary and Martha. He cared for them, didn't he? Remember when the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000? The Bible was talking about men, you know, beside women and children. That means they did feed the women and children too, right? But anyway, the feeding of the thousands. He told his disciples that they haven't eaten and he had compassion on them. I mean, it was their fault. They came out to hear Jesus and they weren't prepared. They didn't bring food. He had compassion on them.
They probably didn't think they were going to be there that long.
Maybe not.
So intrigued.
They weren't thinking, right? A lot of people aren't prepared in life, right? So think about that. Then ask yourself, did Jesus have compassion on you? Oh my, yes. Right? He had compassion on you. So let me ask you, do we have compassion on others? You see someone that's, you know, has a rough time. No, we shouldn't think that way. We should have compassion on them. We should care. I mean, do we care for people? I mean, sin is sin, yes. You know, we always say sin is sin, and sin is sin. But there's going to be people that have made bad decisions and they have consequences, but we could still show compassion on them, still care for them. I remember one time someone asked me to go to Chambersburg. I was in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Go visit a young man that was in the hospital. I was like, sure. I'd love to go visit. And I went to visit this young man. And I think this is the only time ever I went to visit someone in the hospital. And literally, he didn't kick me out, per se. But if he could have, he would have. I mean, he yelled at me. He's like, get out of here. Get out of here. You know why? I said, I came here if I could pray with you. And he got so mad. Well, I went outside and I still prayed for him. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, there's sometimes people have made bad decisions. We have prisons that are here. There's people who have made bad decisions. Now, don't misunderstand. If you do the crime, do the time, right? I'm all for that. But we should still have compassion. Still pray for them. Still help them. We have had people come through here that ended up in prison. Well, we still care for them. You know, we should have compassion. When you think about it, our Lord had compassion. Matter of fact, you can go through this Bible and what you'll find is compassion after compassion, compassion. A man that had leprosy, they had compassion. A lady who lost her own son, her only son, compassion. I mean, he had compassion, compassion, compassion. We should have compassion too. He is our example. We should be like him. Try this week. Focus on that. Instead of just thinking about yourself, think about others. What can I do that people could see Jesus in me? And ultimately show compassion, show that you care. Allow people to see Jesus living in and through you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and this study this evening. And I pray, Father, in our life that we would allow you to work in our lives. And Lord, that we would be faithful. We would finish what you'd want us to do. We'd be steadfast in it. And Lord, that we would show people that we care. And we would show compassion. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And I pray that you would help us to live for you the rest of this week and until you call us home. And we ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.